Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we're unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. We go worldwide to a worldwide audience on the fastest streaming show in the history of such things. And it's good to have you back, as I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. Looking forward to a great show here on the day. Did you get the big news, by the way, from France? Have you been keeping up on the French election? France has elected its first suicide idiot child as prime minister. A socialist, I believe. Well, they call him a centrist, which means he's a pro-abort, pro-homo socialist. And he's a child. And he's a suicidal idiot child. And I think he's a homo. Did I already mention that I think he's a homo? Or maybe I was just asking, is he a homo? I don't know. Actually, he's married to a woman. Listen to this. If you want a barometer for the state of Europe right now, the man just elected prime minister of France was seduced and molested by his high school teacher at the age of 15, and he ended up marrying her. And they're married right now. Yeah, yeah. She was his high school teacher. She seduced and molested him, and now they're married. Yeah. So there you have it. Reason number 1,114 to get or keep your children out of the government schools if you ever move to France is your son could be molested by his teacher. They could end up married, and worst yet, he could become a socialist, suicidal, idiot child in French politics and end up being elected as the prime minister. So there you have that. That was big news this week. The other big news, the Republicans have formally and officially endorsed government welfare. I mean health care. I mean health insurance. Something like that. They've basically endorsed Obamacare, but they're going to move some of the money to their friends and away from some of the Democrats' friends is how that's going to work. Friends and family members, I do believe. Just to be clear about that. Yeah. Do you want me to make a prediction? I will make a prediction. She did not acknowledge if she wanted me to make a prediction, but I'm going to make a prediction. let's see. The partial defunding of Planned Parenthood that was included in the Trump care bill that passed the House, that funding will be restored in the Senate. It will. And the question then is, will the bill pass? I have another prediction. It just will not matter. It does not matter. Socialist health care is here to stay now that it's been endorsed by even the Republicans. As if they were against socialism. I don't know. Anyway, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. The Trump care, Obamacare, Hillary care, whatever. It's all about the same. All right. So there we have, that was the other big news of the week. I just wanted to bring my extremely attractive audio engineer up to date on the big news of the week because she doesn't pay attention to such things. She has activities here on the farm. No, it's a ranch. I think it's a farm if you grow things. It's a ranch if you have livestock. We have a growing brood of livestock, by the way. Five hatchlings in the garage. By the way, the big news from the McBurney compound this week is that I have reclaimed my garage for my vehicle and the vehicle of my extremely attractive audio engineer. For the first time in 4 months, we've been able to park our vehicles like civilized human beings in the garage. And I've thrown out the peacocks. Yes, the peacocks. By the way, we had a peacock incident. What? It was an incident. It was almost an international incident. Because as we were out working on the nesting boxes in the new stand-up, walk-in, double-wide chicken coop, our neighbors decided to shoot off some guns, as is wont to happen around here. So we hear a volley of gunfire. Little did we know that our peacock was perching on my neighbor's lowboy. And, well, the peacock got quite a start and flew off into the hither and nigh. And, well, we couldn't find the peacock. Come nightfall, peacock doesn't come and check in, doesn't occupy the garage as he normally does. And so we had to send the bird whisperer out in the dark with nothing but a headlamp. And she found the peacock. Not only did she find the peacock on someone else's property, hiding, huddling, hunkering down, afraid that there would be more gunfire. Not only did she find the peacock, she picked the peacock up and brought the peacock home. Yeah, and you can't touch a peacock. By the way, I have three peafowl. We here at the McBurney compound, we have three peafowl. I do not recommend you get them. Now, they're not the best pet in the world. They make a lot of noise. They cover everything with feces, and they will destroy the paint job on a vehicle in an afternoon. So we've already surrendered the paint jobs of three vehicles to the peacocks. That's it. So I don't recommend them. I love mine, I think, or I'm expected to say that. I haven't killed them, so I at least like having them around. But I do not recommend that you get peacocks for pets. And they're not very friendly either on top of all that. They're worse than cats. They treat you like you owe them something all the time. Anyway, chickens, on the other hand, I like the chickens. And the bird whisperer has some amazing video of the hatching process. I mean, this is stuff, this is worthy of National Geographic. I mean, this is good quality stuff. I'll tell you, the iPhone is pretty amazing. She's got video of the whole hatching process of the whole brood of what kind of chickens were those? Bantams. Yes, bantam chickens. It's all big fun. Big fun. All right, but we should get to the news because the news is important, right? Yeah, all right, what do we have? I don't really want to get to the news. All right, Iran, let's go to Iran. Believe it or not, a shocking realization has come to the American media via the Free Beacon. As shocking as it may sound, it seems as if Iran is using the billions of dollars in cash that was given to them by Barack Obama. As part of the nuclear deal, you remember that? We gave them $167 billion, was it? $1.7 billion, sorry. $1.7 billion in cash. A billion, by the way, is 1,000 million. Just so you know, it's a lot of money. It seems they may be using some of that money to engage in a military buildup, surprisingly enough. And possibly there are suspicions that they are also using it to support and fund terrorism around the world. No, that can't be. I thought we had a deal. Iranian, and by the way, who's saying that this is all happening? It's not the Free Beacon. It's not Conservative Review, right? It's not here, the Weekly Worldview. We're not the ones making this accusation. The claims are being made by Iranian officials. Listen to what the Free Beacon has to say. Iranian officials announced last month that Iran's defense budget has increased by 145% under President Rouhani, and that the military is moving forward with a massive restructuring, an effort aimed at making it a forward-moving force. That's the Iranian military. Where'd they get all the money for this? Yeah, well, the sanctions were dropped. And so now they're able to buy all kinds of weapons from the Russians. Yes. Iranian leaders have stated that since the deal, the Barry Obama deal, they're using the massive amounts of cash to fund the purchase of new military equipment, including several multi-million dollar arms deals with the Ruskies. Yes. Since all the sanctions were lifted by Barack Obama, who now doesn't like the Russians for some reason. But he didn't seem to have a problem with them selling arms to the Iranians. Let's see here. The money, by the way, the $1.7 billion was returned to Iran, according to Barack Obama's administration. We returned money that we had taken from them illegally. Quite possible. Well, we just didn't want to argue about whether or not it was illegal to freeze all those Iranian assets. And so we just gave it all back with interest. to 30 years worth of interest with no strings attached. And so that's from the war file here at the Weekly Worldview. And there you have the reason that I don't really want to talk about the news. It's all very depressing. Yes, even more depressing. Donald Trump hosted Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestine Liberation Organization. Well, that's what they used to call themselves back when they were a full-on terrorist organization with no hints of even pretending that they were a governing authority. Well, now they are the governing authority, the Palestinian Authority. Mahmoud Abbas, head of a terrorist organization, was in the White House this past week, and Donald Trump tweeted what an honor it was to host President Mahmoud Abbas in the White House. Following their meeting, according to the New York Post, Trump got on Twitter, said, "An honor to host President Mahmoud Abbas in the White House. Hopefully something terrific, fantastic and terrific and wonderful could come out of it between the Palestinians and Israel," said Donald Trump in his tweet. But the tweet was deleted. Yes. The tweet was deleted after about 13 hours. It was on Twitter, and now it's gone, and nobody can find it. But the bottom line is the president of the United States once again hosted a terrorist in the White House and then tweeted about it. So you host the leader of a terrorist criminal gang that's been given jurisdiction over the West Bank and Gaza. And then you realize that all those Christians you bamboozled during the election might be offended by that. So after 13 hours, you delete that tweet and you hope Ralph Reed never sees it. Never passes it on to anybody. Doesn't retweet that one. Yeah. Terrorists in the White House. That's just nice job, Mr. Trump. Yes. Strip club operator from Queens, the savior of America and Israel, by the way. Absolutely. In the meantime, while all this is going on, another story here from the war file. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea, otherwise known as North Korea, otherwise known as Hell on Earth, has detained yet another American citizen. Right in our face. We have an armada off the coast of North Korea, and they detain another American. By the way, being detained in North Korea is as close as one can get to actually going to hell on earth. The American citizen's name is Kim Hak-song. He worked for the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology. He was detained right there in hell on earth. So you're already in hell on earth, and then you're detained and thrown in prison. Imagine how bad that is. The university, by the way, this University of Science and Technology in Pyongyang, North Korea, the university was founded in 2010 by evangelical Christians. And oddly, this is really weird. The college students who attend there are mostly the children of the North Korean elite government officials. I read that. Isn't that weird? Why would evangelical Christians set up a school to give solace and comfort to the children of the people who are murdering everyone in North Korea? I just don't get it. But one thing we can be certain of is that Kim Hak-song, the American citizen detained, is not guilty of crimes against North Korea. He's not guilty of spying or anything like that. And even if he was spying for us, that would be good. If he's spying for the good guys against the evil dictators in North Korea, that would be a good thing. He would be a hero, and we should send in a team of frogmen and Navy SEALs to rescue him and kill everyone in the prison who was holding him. So what's that armada doing sitting there? Maybe. We'll see. Maybe we're waiting to find out. Anyway, this just struck me as odd. That you go to hell and set up a college for the children of the people inflicting hell upon their citizens. I don't understand it. It's just bizarre. The whole world is upside down and crazy and insane. And the French have proved it by electing someone who was molested by their teacher. And there you have that. Meanwhile, while all this is going on in the new budget deal, the Military Times is reporting that the Trump administration will allot $1.16 trillion. Oh, that's the whole budget. I'm sorry. I thought, so the headline is, the budget deal includes money to battle misogyny in the Marine Corps. And I thought they were going to dedicate $1.16 trillion to battling misogyny. But no, no, they're only going to allot $18 million of money borrowed from the great-great-grandchildren of the PFC in the Marine Corps right now, who's 18 years old. Part of the $1.6 trillion budget deal passed without any real review in the middle of the night in the dark by Paul Ryan and other devious, deceptive, lying Republicans includes $18 million to address the recent photo-sharing scandal in the Marine Corps. The omnibus does not specify exactly what the money is exactly for, but they're going to hire consulting services to curb the misogynistic culture within the Marine Corps, and we're not specific about what services and who will be doing the consulting, but one can assume that a number of congressional cousins, nephews, brother-in-laws, and mistresses are preparing proposals for their firms to manage and implement all of the consulting services necessary to mitigate the unconscious bias and misogyny in the Marine Corps, to help the Marine Corps focus on how people prejudge others based on factors such as race and gender, and was there anything we missed? Right. My name is Doug McBurney, and I'm glad to have you here. This is as close to as live as it gets on the internet. This is as close as, if you want to hear me live, by the way, or as close to live as I ever get on terrestrial radio, I will be guest hosting tomorrow. This is a promo. Sneaking a promo here in the first break. I'll be hosting tomorrow, Bob and Yart Live on AM 670 KLT, right here in Denver on regular old terrestrial radio. And you can feel free to tune in at 3 o'clock if you want to check all that out, okay? Now, I want to talk about roofing really quickly here. Because roofing, have you ever done roofing? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. No, she's never done roofing. Roofing is the hardest job ever.
Just because I've never done it.
No, not just because you've never done it, just because I have. And so I believe that one of the things about hell, when you go to hell, the first thing you're going to find out is that the roof needs to be replaced and you are assigned to do it. That's it, right? Roofing is the hardest job in the history of jobs, as far as I know. Now, a lot of people say this is the type of job that Americans just won't do. And that's why you have a lot of undocumented aliens and illegal aliens, and they're the ones putting the roofs on our houses, right? Well, don't tell me that Americans won't do it, because if you come to the McBurney compound over the next few days, you will see at least three Americans engaged in roofing. Yes, we will be putting the roof on the new stand-up, walk-in, double-wide chicken coop. So Americans will do roofing, darn it. And we're here to prove it. In fact, well, I don't want anyone to actually come here. That was a figure of speech. Don't think about actually coming here. You might be shot and killed by my neighbors if you get close to their low boy. So be careful if you actually want to come. But maybe we'll have the bird whisperer document the roofing activities with her iPhone, and we can prove that Americans will do roofing. So roofing is the equivalent of 5,000 squat thrusts per square. It's just you bend over, you lift, you drag, you haul. The shingles are heavy. They leave little tiny bits of fiberglass in your forearms and in your hands and your fingers. And what's that?
She doesn't get it. Why are you complaining?
She says it's not that bad, huh? Yeah, she's young and indestructible, you see. When I was 16, I could have thrown a roof around. You get down on your knees, and the little granules of asphalt dig and bury themselves into the epidermis, and then you go and take a shower, and you got these little black pieces of, look like little pieces of charcoal coming out of your skin into the drain. It's just the worst job in the history of ever. It's just awful. That's right. So when you get to hell, not only are you going to be piped in the Weekly Worldview for punishment, you're also going to be roofing at the same time. How about that? Now, speaking of hell, I want to address the issue. I want to address the issue of Dr. Mark Green, nominated to be Secretary of Army this past week. And as fast as his nomination went up the flagpole, Donald Trump and his Democrat minions in the White House pulled it down. Let me just go to the story here from this from USA Today. Dateline Washington. Dr. Mark Green, an Iraq War veteran and West Point graduate who was deployed three times overseas, came under fire this past week from numerous advocacy groups when since President Trump announced last month that he would nominate Dr. Green to be the Secretary of the Army. Now, why is everyone freaking out about Dr. Mark Green, a West Point graduate and an Iraq War veteran? Isn't this the kind of guy who should be the Secretary of the Army? Well, it turns out, we go now to CNN, Trump's pick to be Secretary of the Army, former Army Dr. Mark Green, is a self-identified child molester, Islamist? Has he sworn allegiance to the Islamic State? What? He is a self-identified creationist. Oh, that's the worst. That's worse than an Islamist who deals in child pornography. Yes. Let's see. This man once said that the theory of evolution was false and that it was encouraged by Satan. That's what he said that at church, right? Well, Mr. Green, since saying that he doesn't fall in line with Darwinian evolution, he now has faced opposition from Democrats and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender groups. Is there anyone we missed? They're all upset. What are the lesbian, bi-gender, queer, transgender? What do they care about creationism? What is the deal that the homos get all freaked out if you say you believe God created the heavens and the earth? Oh, that's right. Never mind, it's fairly obvious. All right, so the LGBT crowd is against him. They're very upset. They say, this is what he said about trannies. This is what he said at church. He said, if you poll psychiatrists, they're going to tell you that transgender is a disease. It's a mental disorder, at least if you would have polled them 2 years ago. Now, any who knows what they would say. Now, listen to what CNN goes on to point out. CNN says, the National Academy of Sciences says that the theory of evolution is supported by so many observations and confirming experiments that scientists are confident that the basic components of the theory will not be overturned by new evidence. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, they don't list any. They don't list any because there are no observations, nor are there any confirming experiments that confirm evolution. Not one, none, zero, none. Not even one. And so they don't list any. They just go on and they say, the National Academy of Sciences also says that because the evidence supporting evolution is so strong, scientists no longer question whether biological evolution has occurred and is continuing to occur. Instead, they investigate the mechanisms of evolution, how rapidly evolution can take place, and other related questions, but they don't even question the fact. Well, Dr. Mark Green not only questions the fact that evolution occurred, he flat out rejects it. He says it's fake, false, fake, phony, that's what, yeah. Green rejects the, listen to how CNN states the next sentence. Green rejects the conclusions of scientists. He rejects the conclusions of scientists. How dare he? In a speech to his church, he dedicated nearly an hour to explaining why his work as a medical doctor taught him to reject the theory of evolution. Green claims that the theory of evolution violates the physical laws, using the example of a lawnmower left out in the backyard. Green says, well, evolutionists says that their argument depends on millions and millions and billions and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. In order to see evolution occur, he says, well, take a lawnmower and put it in your backyard. Come back in 100 years. He says, what you're going to find is that it's rusted and falling apart. You can't put parts out in the yard for 100 years, come back 100 years later, and it's going to come back together. He says, that's a violation of the second law of thermodynamics. And he says, that is a physical law that exists in the universe. I wonder if any of the scientists that were quoted earlier would argue with the fact that the second law of thermodynamics actually exists. I wonder if they've begun to question that. Since they don't question evolution, do they question anything? Maybe they're questioning the second law of thermodynamics. Perhaps. Do I need to clue in the audience what the second law of thermodynamics is? I'm sure most of you people matriculated in the government schools and you don't even know what the second law of thermodynamics is. So let me help you out. The second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy. It's the observable fact that everything in the universe is moving from a state of order to a state of disorder, and it's breaking down, falling apart like a lawnmower in your backyard. That's a pretty good analogy from Dr. Green. Green also argues, by the way, in his defense of creationism, that processes allowing human life to exist are irreducibly complex. And he says that this is evidence for the Creator. He asked the question, did all of this happen by chance, or is this unbelievable engineering? That's what Dr. Green has done to draw the ire and offend the leftist, socialist, liberal, suicidal, idiot children, the homosexuals, the lesbians, the gays, the bigendered, the transgendered, bigendered, all of those, and the questioning. And John McCain, by the way, let's get to this. This is what's really offensive. John McCain was, now as far as I know, John McCain is not a member of the Democrat Party, nor is he a member of any LGBT organization as far as I'm aware. Well, he may be a member, but he's not an active participant, and he's certainly not on the board, or is he? Doesn't he have a daughter who has strayed over there into the dark side? Does McCain have the lesbian daughter? Is that another one? I get them all confused. I apologize to all of John McCain's children. Oh, that's Dick Cheney. All right, that's another one. All right. Well, listen to what John McCain had to say. He was asked in an interview about Mark Green's past comments. Mr. McCain, what do you think of the nominee for Secretary of the Army? His comments regarding creationism, lesbians, gays, bigenders, traffic, the LGBT. Why do I keep sticking traffic in there? What's, I have some kind of mental thing? Lesbian, gay, bigendered, and trans traffic? I can't. Anyway, asked about Mr. Green's comments, John McCain said they're very concerning. I'm very concerned. Mr. Green will have to explain himself in the hearings. There's a lot of controversy concerning Mr. Green's nomination. We're getting some questions
from both Republicans and Democrats on the committee, and I think there are some issues that clearly need to be cleared up by Mr. Green in the hearings, from what I understand.
Asked whether he was bothered about Mr. Green's remarks, John McCain said,
Of course, yes. Some of the comments are very concerning.
When he was asked, which comments exactly did you find troubling, Mr. McCain? Mr. McCain said,
a broad variety of comments concerning, the Muslim faith, of course, and concerning, of course, the LGBT community, of course. That's very concerning.
Unquote. That was John McCain. And then under pressure from Republicans like John McCain, Mr. Green, who's probably just a decent human being who doesn't want to see his family dragged through the living hell of being tortured by the questioning of lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual sycophants like John McCain. He doesn't want to go through that living hell. And so he withdrew his own name from nomination. And John McCain is probably hard at work right now with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner to find an appropriate lesbian, gay, or transgender, or bisexual secretary of the army who goes in for Darwinian evolution. We care a lot. Since we've been focused here a lot on hell, and when you read the news of the day, you tend to focus your attention on the reality of hell. See, I won't get into my theories about hell because they're somewhat controversial. But I wonder about things. Let's talk about heaven. How about that? Let's talk about heaven for a minute. Let's try to change the dynamic for just a second. Bring the whole room down. Everybody relax. Let's talk about heaven. What do you think we are going to do for entertainment in heaven? I mean, you're already in paradise. Are you going to be able to be entertained? To laugh? To cheer? To experience waves of joy and emotion as you're entertained and uplifted and it's just, I ponder these things. And I was pondering it after I read the story about what John McCain did to Dr. Mark Green. And I thought, you know what? In heaven, it's quite possible that to entertain and to get some entertainment, that there might be daily trips, day trips, where you can go to hell. Day trip to hell where you can watch John McCain on a spit being turned slowly and roasted in hell. And they'll sell tickets. And it'll be one of the harder tickets to get.
That's very humanist.
You're right. We won't. That's it. See, in heaven, we won't want to watch John McCain being turned on a spit and seeing the flesh roasted from his pathetic carcass. No, we will get past all that. Yeah. And so I pondered it while I was reading that story, I will confess. But when we go to heaven, we're going to feel sorry for the fact that John McCain went straight to hell with jet rockets. We're going to feel bad about that. Okay, so I will plan on feeling bad about that later when I'm in heaven. and John McCain, barring a major shift, a cataclysmic shift in John McCain's worldview, he will be an occupant of hell forever and ever. Let's talk about religious liberty. Now that we've covered heaven and hell, mostly hell, I admit, yes, let's talk about religious liberty. This comes from the Yeah Right file here at the Weekly Worldview. President Donald Trump issued an executive order protecting and defending religious liberty this past week. And some conservatives were disappointed. Conservatives like me were quite disappointed in the fact that anyone felt the need to amend the First Amendment. I thought we already had religious liberty, but we do not. And so now it's up to a strip club operator from Queens and his Democrat family to write the rules protecting my religious liberty. Thank you very much. I'd like to opt out, if that's possible. Anyway, so Trump issues an executive order, which has virtually no authority outside of the executive offices. And, well, conservative, what do you call these people? Well, the bamboozled masses of leadership in the Christian organizations and the pro-family industry, they all dropped in line behind Donald Trump's executive order. Penny Nance, the president of Concerned Women for America, which we just call a going concern, that's our nickname for the Concerned Women for America. We just call them a going concern. You can look that up in your economics textbook if you'd like to figure out what that one means. She was interviewed by TheHill.com, and she said, well, social conservatives, we're apt to give Trump the benefit of the doubt for now because, well, we've given him the benefit of the doubt, like, the whole time. You know, the fact that he's a Democrat. Was pro-abortion his whole life. Donated all that money to Planned Parenthood. And, you know, he's a Democrat. So we've given him the benefit of the doubt, and we plan to continue to do that, said Penny Nance, the president of the going concern over there. It's falling in line behind Trump's executive order. She said, Donald Trump has met and exceeded the expectations and followed through on every campaign promise he made to the pro-life community. Every single one. Every one. I think it's yet to be determined how effective the religious liberty order is, but if it doesn't work out, well, you can bet we'll be right there asking the administration to go further, sending out fundraising letters, raising funds, educational campaigns that we work on. They're so important. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, which we don't have a nickname for yet. Well, I wasn't prepared. We'll have to work on that. Tony Perkins said that Donald Trump's order makes clear that the administration will pursue policies that protect and vigorously promote religious liberty. The order starts the process, you see. The process has been started of reversing the devastating trend set by the last administration. The process is ongoing, so to speak. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's Tony Perkins. All right. That's his thoughts. Then we have the Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed, the chairman of the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition, also known as the Faith and Freedom Coalition. We call them the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition. He says that Donald Trump's executive order defending and protecting religious liberty is, quote, well, it's the first bite at the apple, not the last. Did I say bite the apple? Did I seriously say that? Was I the president of the Christian Coalition? Get out of here. Did I really just say a bite at the apple? I can't believe it. That was Ralph Reed. He says it's the first bite of the apple, not the last. And then we have Priests for Life, Priests for Some Life, you know. Priests willing to negotiate over life. Frank Pavone says, well, we have to celebrate what has happened and understand that it's not finished yet. And there will be more coming, you understand. There will be much more, more. There's a lot more coming, much more. Finally, we have Ronnie Floyd, Ronnie Floyd, not Pink Floyd, no Ronnie Floyd, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he told The Hill, which is where we're reading the story from. It's an outfit called The Hill there. He said, we'll see the totality of it eventually, says Ronnie Pink Floyd of the Southern Baptist Convention, obviously on hallucinogenic drugs when he endorsed Donald Trump. At least in our opinion, we don't have any evidence that he was actually on hallucinogenic drugs, but at least we know that would be a legitimate excuse. Not that a whole lot of Southern Baptists find themselves on hallucinogenic drugs all that often, and so Mr. Floyd may have to explain himself further. Perhaps we'll see the totality of Mr. Floyd's explanation eventually. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You have 8 years of the demonic, psychopathic liberal, demon from hell, Barack Obama, doing everything in his power to utterly destroy religious liberty in America for 8 straight years. And now Donald Trump, the strip club operator from Queens, elected by the Christians to restore religious liberty, now has the opportunity to issue executive orders. And he issues a piecemeal kind of, well, we're getting started and we'll see more later. The thing about correcting evil and destruction and stopping bad things, especially in politics, is that you generally cannot do it piecemeal. You either stop being evil and turn it around, or you just contribute to the continuation of the wickedness while you make money with one hand and bamboozle Christians with the other, and then a little song and dance, and you send out a fundraising letter, and Donald Trump is wonderful, and hey, don't worry, we're going to get to the real reforms. You just wait. You just wait. We'll get to the real reforms. Folks, I have been hearing this line since I was 20 years old when George H.W. Bush was elected, and we all found out he was a liberal, and I heard conservatives in my circle of friends and on the news say, well, you just wait. Bush is just acting like a liberal right now, just to, for whatever reason, political calculations, you see, and strategery. But you just wait. And then I heard that about, let's see, who have we had now? We had H.W., then we had Bubba Jeff. I never heard that about Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton. We all knew where he was coming from. You know, that guy was just out for himself. He was on the make. That's all. Then George W. Bush gets elected. We find out he's a liberal, but all the Christians who were bamboozled, they say, no, just wait. You just wait. He's waiting for just the right time. You got a few things going now, but boy, it's right around the corner. Boom, Barack Obama's elected. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. Not a single thing. Now we've got Donald Trump, a Democrat strip club operator from Queens, and you expect me to buy that again? That Donald Trump is just waiting for the perfect time to spring all of his pro-Christian, pro-family, pro-life, all of his... some revolution's going to take place. Just wait. I'm not buying it. And I don't get fundraising letters from any of these organizations anymore. The Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition, no. Pink Floyd, they don't send me anything. The Going Concern, I don't hear from any of these people anymore because they know they're not going to get a nickel out of me because I'm not bamboozled. I mean, how stupid do you people think we are? I am your host, Doug McBurney. No, that's not Pink Floyd either.
I don't have it.
Nor are they Southern Baptists. They're somewhere in between Pink Floyd and the Southern Baptists.
What is?
Aerosmith falls somewhere in between. I don't know. I was just trying to relate.
I don't have Pink Floyd.
No, there's not a Pink Floyd record allowed on the McBurney compound. Well, that's one thing that we decided a long, long time ago. Well, you know that my extremely attractive audio engineer, she's been brainwashing me for years. So I used to like, we were just talking about this. All the stuff that I used to like that I don't like anymore because you don't like it. One of them is Pink Floyd.
You liked it?
I liked Pink Floyd. Well, I was young, and what did I know? They played some blues guitar licks.
No.
Pink Floyd is one of the things that I'm off of Pink Floyd. I can't enjoy Pink Floyd anymore. I don't like Pink Floyd. Change the station when it comes on the radio. Although I don't even listen to music on the radio anymore. No. But there's a number of things that I used to like that I honestly and genuinely do not like anymore, and it's only because you don't
food,
like
it. Isn't it?
Mostly food. Mostly food. Guacamole. I would never have eaten guacamole in my whole life. Never would have tried guacamole. No. Wouldn't have done that. Now I like guacamole. In fact, I'm something of a connoisseur. In fact, we celebrated Cinco de Mayo here at the McBurney compound with a tri-tip carne asada that rivals anything on the gas lamp district in San Diego at $80 a plate. And not even close.
It was Cinco de Mayo.
It was Seis de Mayo because, well, Cinco de Mayo because I was in hell roofing on Seis de Mayo until dark. We didn't have time to eat. We ended up eating Chinese food on Cinco de Mayo because we're a multicultural family. So we had chow mein and broccoli. There's another one. Broccoli? I would never eat broccoli. Now I order beef broccoli on Cinco de Mayo from the Chinese restaurant. Just so my extremely attractive audio engineer doesn't have to cook.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the main
I don't
thing.
Like Chinese food.
That's right. But so anyway, how did we get distracted with that? Because we were talking about something important. No, we weren't. We were talking about Pink Floyd, Aerosmith. And so naturally that leads to just pure carbohydrate conversation. It's of no real value, just kind of get immediate pop. Let's get to reason number 1111. To get or keep your children out of the government schools. Here at the McBurney compound, if you're a new listener, we homeschool our children. And the main reason is because the schools are godless. That's the number one reason. And then there's the reading and the writing and the arithmetic, yes, but it's because they're godless. And because they're godless, they're twisting and destroying the minds of tens of millions of children every day. And they're also seducing and molesting children on a scale that probably hasn't been seen since the time of the Greeks. Indianapolis, Indiana, Fox 59 News reports that a former Franklin Central High School teacher is now facing multiple criminal charges stemming from a relationship between a 38-year-old teacher and a student. There was a 10-second video going around the school. I don't want to get into... Students were trying to use the video to blackmail the teacher to give them better grades. So the teacher bought a gun for another student and told that student to use the gun to rob the other students to get the evidence, the incriminating video. So obviously the teacher not realizing that now that the video's up there, it's up there forever. There's no taking that down. You can't buy a gun, but she did. She bought a gun for other students, threatened students. She faces a litany of charges. The teacher's first day was on January 3rd. She resigned on April 7th. The school noted that their hiring process did include a full criminal background check. Yes.
This teacher's a woman?
The teacher was a woman, by the way. Did I mention that? No, I didn't mention. The teacher was a woman, yes.
Wow.
I know. Now, listen, here's the thing. She was hired after a complete, full, detailed criminal background check that revealed no criminal behavior, no criminality in this young lady's past. But what the people who hired her at Franklin Central High School did not realize, that it's the institution that they've now hired her to participate in that is the criminal enterprise that was this woman's first introduction to an ongoing criminal enterprise. It was Franklin Central High School. This 38-year-old teacher probably never participated in a criminal enterprise before. No, of course not. But now she got hired by one. It's an ongoing criminal enterprise where people are hired to lie and deceive students and to sexually exploit and molest them. That's what the public schools are, in my opinion. So this woman, in fact, the teacher whose name I will not mention, this woman may have never become a criminal were it not for her environment at Franklin Central High School. That was her introduction to a life of crime, was being hired as a teacher in the government school. So there's reason number 1,111, your kid may be molested or bought a gun for or have a gun pointed at them as a result of the ongoing criminal enterprise that is the government school system in America. Today, we move on to Macon.com from Macon, Georgia. Reason number 1,112. A former Bonair Elementary School special ed teacher has been indicted on a charge that he attempted to lure a girl through the internet. The girl was actually an undercover police officer. When the teacher was interviewed, he claimed that the chats and emails that the police had were only fantasy. He then resigned and in shame and turned himself into authorities. Reason number 1,112, need I say more? We move on to reason 1,113, to get or keep your children out of the primary, the elementary, the middle school, the junior high school, the high school, and the government-funded university system in America, and we go to Penn State University, as you can well imagine. The Beta Theta Phi, not Phi, Pi. The Beta Theta Pi, I never went to college. I had a, in fact, I was being interrogated once by a high-powered business executive as to exactly how, Mr. McBurney, did you find your way into the position that you hold with this company? What is your degree? And I said, well, I never went to college. And he looked at me askew. He was somewhat stunned. And I said, but hey, sometimes I hire people who did. I don't have anything against people who went to college. I said, look, while you were doing beer bongs and chasing girls around in college, I was in the Marine Corps. How about that? Boy, he didn't have a comeback for that one. And the interrogation stopped right then. It was pretty funny. All right, the Beta Theta Pi fraternity and 18 individuals, according to Penn Live, 18 individuals and the Beta Theta Pi attorney, attorney, did I say? Fraternity are facing charges. Let's start this again. The Beta Theta Pi fraternity and 18 individuals are facing charges in connection with the February frat house death of a sophomore engineering student named Timothy Piazza. A total of 8 students and the fraternity are charged with involuntary manslaughter. Piazza died February 4th, 2 days after he arrived at the Beta House for pledge night, which involved heavy consumption of alcoholic beverages, at some point in the evening, Piazza fell down a set of stairs. His frat brothers in quotes, believing that he was simply drunk, did not summon medical help until the following morning when he was pronounced dead. Now, the attorneys for the offending students who have been charged, their attorneys have said that, hey, no layman could have detected or even suspected that such a head injury could have killed the young man. Obviously, my clients, Your Honor, are as pure as the driven snow, and they were just his fraternity brothers. And nobody could have known that when you fall down the stairs and you hit your head that you could die, especially because everybody was so drunk. That's their defense. Penn State, the president there, has responded with new restrictions on alcohol consumption. That's the solution there at Penn State. They've warned several fraternities that have broken the rules that, you better not break the rules anymore. And then they broke the rules again. These are the new rules on alcohol consumption after the kid died. So it's very serious. So after they broke the rules the second time, the president of the university issued a statement saying that he will banish the fraternities if they don't stop and take this seriously. And that's the state of things right now. It's kind of like Donald Trump and religious liberty and turning back the tide of liberalism. Well, you'll see the totality of it eventually, trust me. You just keep pushing it. All right, so reason number 1,113, your son or daughter may get so drunk that they fall down and kill themselves and nobody will help them because everybody else will be as drunk and as stupid as your poor, pathetic product of the government schools that you hand over to the devious, lying, criminal, ongoing criminal enterprise that is the government schools from K through 12 through undergraduate all the way to the PhD level. Be very careful. Now, so let's turn to a story that's not from the public schools. In fact, it's the anti-public schools story. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is playing baseball for the Columbia Fireflies, and we have a report here from Columbia, South Carolina. Tim Tebow is a big league hit in the minor leagues. That's according to the Associated Press, as a matter of fact. I thought I was going to sneeze, but I'm not. Okay, that's right. The Columbia Fireflies are packing them in, not only at Firefly Stadium, if that's what it's called, but at all the stadiums Tebow goes to. Yeah, the Hickory Crawdads, they drew a total of 17,500 fans for one series, eclipsing the 15,000 and change they drew for their first eight games. The Crawdads coach, he said, you know, we had 4,500 people in the stand last night, and 4,300 of them were here to see Tim Tebow. All right. All right. Let's see. Tebow is the biggest show currently playing in A baseball, and the Associated Press says it may be unclear if Tim Tebow will ever go to the big leagues, but he's already a great big hit. The average road game is drawing 2.5 times the number of fans that would typically go to an A-ball game in April when nobody really cares about A-baseball. But meanwhile, Gronkowski is perhaps making a debut with the WWF, last we heard, wrestling. What's his name? Rob Gronkowski, yeah. All right, Gronk. See, when I get to heaven, I won't feel this way about Rob Gronkowski. I'll feel sorry for him. And maybe that makes Tim Tebow a better person than me. Tim already feels sorry for Rob Gronkowski. Is it Rob or Ron? Who cares? We all know what's that guy's just, all right. Now, quickly, we're running out of time? No, we're actually out of time. Let's go to Lexington, South Carolina quickly from the Justice File. I could just end on that happy note, right? I could do that.
All right.
So from the Justice File, Lexington, South Carolina from the Associated Press, 34-year-old Nate Hunter has been convicted of burglary, attempted murder, criminal sexual conduct with a minor, and unlawful possession of a firearm. That's 34-year-old Nate Hunter. He broke into a home and ordered... He broke into a home and ordered the mother and 6-year-old child at gunpoint to undress. Then he did things so horrible that I cannot describe them on the air. But despite being shot 5 times, the mother prevented Hunter from raping her daughter. DNA led police to Nate Hunter, and he was arrested just a few days after this one of the most horrific crimes in the history of crime. He was out on bond at the time on murder and burglary charges. He was out on bond on a murder charge when he brutalized this mother and attempted, well, what he attempted to do, I just told you, but the mother stopped him. He shot her 5 times before she beat and scratched and kicked and clawed him out of her house and prevented her 6-year-old daughter from being abused by this filthy, subhuman, unbelievable piece of garbage. Well, this bastard got convicted last week, and what did he get? Well, what do you think a man should get? Well, it's like I said last week. When I hear this story, I want to kill the man with my own hands, as slowly and as painfully as humanly possible. And if mom and the kid want to get in a couple of blows, I would be happy to hold him down. He got 45 years in prison. He got sentenced to life. Life. Life should not be the reward for a crime like this. There is only one appropriate sentence for a crime so heinous and depraved and disgusting and vile. He should have been killed with extreme prejudice and extreme pain. But instead, he got life, defiling the meaning of the word life by associating it with Nate Hunter is where our justice system is. And, well, things need to change, and they don't need to change a little bit now and a little bit later. And we don't need a strip club operator from Queens to tell us what to do. We should all know what to do. We're Americans and we're free. And I'm Doug McBurney, and that's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for listening. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at AmericanRightToLife.com, and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.